Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Yay!
Welcome back, folks!
Banter, banter, banter. I'm assuming by now you're hearing us, which means that it is at some point in the future. The technology has been repaired, the tech gnomes have beaten the tech goblins, and, well, we actually did survive and are still putting out content.
Yes. I know, it is horrible, and I felt so bad about that.
I'm going to start coming up with this tech gnomes versus tech goblins war thing in my head.
No, just start putting it on the Facebook group.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. You know, and pretty much we can tell is like, how long will it take? Or we could just take odds on this and do maybe like a spread thing or some shit.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I'm hoping that in the next couple of days, because I've got a really long weekend. I've got a 3-day weekend. So I'm hoping that in that time frame, I can repair this damage, whatever it is, to the actual site, so that while the blog posts are still coming out, even those are becoming a nightmare to deal with. So
I haven't dreamed about them yet. They're still going okay.
They are. But I want to be able to put out the audio content that we're also recording, like this.
Mm-hmm. If you are hearing this, know that we have missed you and that your warm embrace is something that has left us cold, shriveled, and sad this winter.
It is true. Though here, I'm having like first spring.
Oh, yeah. First spring.
And then I'm going to have second winter here in just like the next 2 days.
Yes. I believe that I am sending this to you from where I am, because we are just coming through first spring and returning to weather that is basically second winter. And so after that, we'll get more spring, and then we'll all send it over to Jules and point and laugh.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, right now, it's just I checked, you know, this morning. It was like, 53 degrees. And all right. And I'm like, okay, and it's like a high of 53 and a low of like 30 something or other. I'm like, dear God, I'm already at the hottest point of the day. And it's,
I wish. I woke up this morning. I went out and got in my truck that was 60 degrees. That was the low. It then promptly rose to 85.
Usually this is followed the next day by a high of 80 or a high of 50, just to make sure your body never quite adapts.
Yeah.
It leads to great crankiness.
Yeah, but, you know, it's been a couple of days of that, so I'm happy, but...
Yeah.
Now, I will note, something we mentioned, I think, on the previous one, if we are releasing these in order, I have now managed to get through Altered Carbon on Netflix.
Oh, I am hoping that I can get to that. I still have to finish Defenders.
So I, especially since, you know, the sequel to your least favorite Marvel Netflix show is coming out in a couple of weeks. So for those of you when we're recording this, Jessica Jones season 2 hasn't come out yet.
But it's probably already out by the time you will actually get this.
Yeah.
Technicalities.
I'll be honest, I'm not looking forward to that. I have to say, though, okay, so I've seen her in the Defenders, and I like her way more in the Defenders than I did just her solo show. Because you actually see her being a detective, not just being a drunk slut.
No. I wouldn't use that description. That's a drunk misanthropist.
No.
Absolutely.
No, she was just straight up having sex with Luke Cage like the entire time.
So?
But she was not doing detective work like she's supposed to.
Yes, but I'd say, but having sexual relations with a single person during the course of the show, wouldn't call it slut.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if you don't want to like,
quibble.
I have no problems with it. I'm like, bang everyone you want, but it's for me, it's just like, no, I like dark intrigue, action, you know. But then again, I'm a cynical bitch, and I'll completely admit that. And you guys know my extremely dark sense of humor, so you know, for me, it's just like, yeah, I don't have a problem with it itself, but it's just like, come on, screen time, come, no, blow somebody up. I want to see somebody exploding. Come on.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah, I was very underwhelmed.
I just like exploding shit.
I was very underwhelmed with the first season, but
you're enjoying Defenders, you're seeing them interact with each other.
Yeah. And it's way better so far.
Well, I'm also looking forward to the new Voltron season coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I haven't caught on any of it yet since the new releases.
You need to. It's good.
I do. And I remember that they were talking when it was first released and people were talking about it.
It's a really awesome blend of the US version and the Go Lion Japanese version. And it is actually a great ongoing story.
That's cool. That is cool. But yeah, so other than that though, so my group decided that they were going to harangue me into the possibility of running a game again on the alternating weekends that we're not playing.
Is it something completely totally different?
Oh, no. We're still playing Pathfinder. I mean, that's what they do here.
Hey, you could stretch their horizons a little bit.
I'm going to see if I can get a group built before I start trying to stretch horizons.
Oh, just take a break for a week and drop down pre-made paranoia characters in front of them.
Well, that could happen. But what I was asked to run was the pirate AP for Pathfinder. So yeah, so it's a little darker. The characters aren't necessarily good, and there's not going to be any paladins.
Well, I mean,
so
that depends.
Nope, there are no paladins. I've already seen most of the people that want to play in the game, and the characters that they have proposed to me are way, way not what. I mean, I love the idea of them, and I think that is going to be the one thing that is just like, oh, this is going to be a fun game.
I really am the least dark and least jaded here, and that says something for people who know me in real life. They're like, wait, what? You're not the jaded one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you're jaded, but then you put it against Zen and myself, and then they're like, oh, shit.
He's like happy-go-lucky.
Hey, I'm trying.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. I mean, and the thing is, like, if we brought, like, Opti on here, and all the rest of us are, like, in super cynical, black, horrible everything town compared to Opti.
Hey, I'm just looking forward to getting a road trip with Opti.
Origins?
Stick Opti and myself in a car for 12 hours.
Is he actually driving up for Origins again? Is he driving up for Origins again this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. We're going to meet up in carpool.
Cool.
Nice.
I am going to be...
Mrs. Opti is going as well, and she is going to be stuck in the car with us.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, before we get too sidetracked by all the crazy funness that will be Origins when we are there and recording live in front of
We actually have a great topic to talk about in preparation for Origins.
We do.
Good segue.
And clap, clap, clap. A very important one, actually. This is a really big one. And that is print versus PDF.
Okay, for those of you youngins listening, let me explain to you that we live in a golden age of gaming books where they are available forever and universally able to be found. Those of us old fogies who, if we're lucky and still have hair, has turned gray, remember when there were limited print runs and only a handful of local stores where if we might be able to find a copy, which we then had to hold on to through thick, thin, moves, parents, and natural disasters, which is why so many of us go gaga over old books.
Now, oh, yeah.
With PDFs and electronic libraries, that changes the game, which means which is better and what do they do better than the other?
Well, as the grognard, print is always better.
From it, here's the thing. It really depends. It's like for people that weren't grown up and raised with tech, I'm, as you guys keep joking, I'm the bunny rabbit ears, youngin', bastards. Let me just put it this
you
way.
You are.
My papa was a computer engineer, and I was raised up around tech, even in the 70s and the 80s. So that having that with like print, it's a lot easy for me to kind of blend the two. I still have my preferences for certain things. I like books. The thing is, like, I like books. You know, if I can get from writing down and scripting and taking notes and all that other good stuff, you know. Because I can like put my finger on the book and not accidentally zoom in and take notes. But for showing stuff around,
I mean, what's
or a quick read?
What's print good for? Let's kind of start by identifying what we think print does well, and we can look at what PDFs do well, and then we can kind of talk about how they compare.
Well, regular books. I mean. They're tactile, they're physical, and a lot of people I know like having a hand on something. So you can put like sticky notes in the combat area section, and you write on your little like those little tag things, and you write like
tabbing it for easy reference is something I think print is better at mm-hmm. because I can color I can color coordinate those flags and tabs a lot easier. Mm-hmm.
You can do that electronically, but it is a little bit more involved and sometimes a little bit more glitchy because we're all using different, there's Mobi, there's the EPUB, there's PDF, a bajillion different things.
Paper
and
is paper.
Not all of them, mm-hmm, and you can write on it. And it's also that, I'll be honest, this is also kind of there's an excitement. You know, at least for people that like reading, like holding a book and flipping through the pages and the smell and all that other stuff.
New book smells real.
It helps with endorphins. Yeah.
Well, and I know we've discussed this and that you may be an abnormal or a divergent data point, but there's psychological research.
Thanks. Go ahead.
There's psychological research that shows most people retain information better from a hard copy than a digital copy. Yeah. And we've discussed this and you said that wasn't true for you. And that is... You know, an
but the thing is, it depends on what I'm trying to. I mean, like what I'm trying to read for, or you know, it's like I will get my textbooks physically, but I don't mind, and I like having a physical copy of all my game books because also they look really awesome on a shelf,
and
there's pride. Oh yeah, and there's the pride of just having, you know, like a big honking book. And
there's still some books that are not available electronically.
Yes.
I know.
Street Fighter, the role-playing game, the storytelling system game, not all of those are available electronically.
Well, they are, but...
Not appropriately.
Well, they are available, but they are not legally available, which is a very profound difference.
And I am always referring to the legally available ones.
Correct.
And I have not seen any of them available legally. But there is something else print is superior at we have not yet mentioned. Resistance training.
Oh, yeah.
You build muscles with those print books a lot easier. Because one of the things that PDF is better at, the literal ton of books in the half-pound tablet.
Exactly.
I will give it that.
You know, and the thing is with here's the other thing. Physical books, they're also a talking point. So say I am at my local, unfortunately I miss you, local game store. Say I'm there and I've got one of my books out. Everyone around me can look at what the heck I'm reading and they might be interested and talk to me about it. But if I'm looking at that on a Kindle, I could be reading anything from, you know, like diagrams, like mathematical proofs to, you know, sci-fi.
to porn even. I mean, you literally could be reading anything. And that's one of the things with...
The internet is for porn.
For print, though, it's very obvious what you're doing.
Yes.
And it really is. Like that talking point. I mean, I know I've found entire groups like just hanging out at the game store. Like one of the things that I was doing for a couple of weeks was I was going into, because on Sundays I get to play in a Shadowrun game and I don't take my Shadowrun book because I have a PDF of it. So I don't bother with carrying all those books because, you know, 20th anniversary Shadowrun is heavy with all of the other books. So I don't carry them because I've got everything in storage, but I have PDFs of them all. So I take those, I have those on my laptop, but I may take like my TMNT book because I'm just flipping through looking at something.
Yeah.
Because I've got maybe I could do this really cool idea thing, you know, and I'll play with things like that. And then people will be like, what is that? Oh, this game is awesome. It's like from the 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s. If you ever get a chance, you should try to find it. You're not getting my copy.
Good luck finding that. PDFs and EPUBs also have the benefit of searchability. Especially for
Control F, baby.
Especially for books that don't have an index, which we have seen certain companies have an allergy to indices. And so a properly searchable PDF or other EPUB is certainly a benefit for that format. Bookmarking is also easy. It does facilitate that. Now, we did mention that it can be harder to kind of filter, clarify, create, you know, subsidiary levels of bookmarking that are easily shared for electronic pubs, but they are easier to organize as a whole. The bookshelf is, again, on the tablet. If I wanted to completely reorganize all of my hard copy gaming books, we're talking a full day and some actual serious effort to take them off the shelves, carry them, not throw my back out as an old fogey, as we've discussed, reorganize them and put them back up.
Yeah.
I can just kind of highlight and move around the ones on the tablet and hey, that's a new organizational pattern.
Yeah.
And that's a real plus there.
For that. I mean, there is. And even having the ability to just throw, you know, oh, it's like a buddy of yours is like, dude, I don't have that book. And you're like, watch this. Boop, copy it to a flash drive and toss it to them. I mean, you can loan books out like that. It's super easy and you don't have to worry about losing your book.
Non-rivalrous resources.
Yes. But I mean, and I've done that before where it's just like somebody will be like, oh, what books are we using? And this is the list of the books that we're using for this game. Because some games have so many books to them that it's like, well, we're not using all the books. We're using these books. Make your character. And they'll come back like one of the guys in this potentially new group that we have. He goes, I'm like, he was like, I want to play a death cleric. I'm like, okay, so you need to read up on, in Pathfinder, the god of death or the goddess of death is Pharasma. I'm like, well, you should look up anything in the core book, see what you, you know, if there's anything in there, but you should also take a look at the Inner Sea Faith book. And he goes, I don't have that. I don't think he, and he looks real quick and he goes, I don't have that one. I'm like, boop, boop, boop. There you go. And he was like, you know, I could literally just like email it to him because the book was small enough.
Well, and that goes into another point I've got about what makes PDFs a beneficial idea is that it's easy to get one or two pages out of a PDF and just print those and possibly copy some of that information for your own use. Yeah. I mean, I remember going to Kinko's and having to get the little counter to stick in the machine to try to photocopy back pages and keep them straight back when, you know, we didn't have EPUBs. And now, you know, oh, hey, there's a character sheet in the back. That's page 382, control print, P, print only, page 382, go. Mm-hmm. That is a fantastic utility. And I think you hear that a lot in how we're describing it. There is a certain aesthetic superiority to the print book, but there is a utility superiority in a lot of ways for the ebook. And so, Jules, you said you were, you know, I think you and I are closer on this than maybe myself and Zen.
You old curmudgeons.
Well, I think you and I are closer on this than, because there's a place for both of them. The literal ton of books in the tablet, you know, you saw me at Origins, I still had like 40 pounds of books, and then I had the tablet that had the other.
But you saw me, and I was like the computer, the tablet, the laptop, and I still had the backpack, but I had that one mostly because I was, and that had a bunch of, but for one game, it was because I wanted to have all the resources because I was introducing somebody to a game they had never, ever heard of and not as much resources online. It's, you know, like I said, I keep pushing Little Fears because I love it, but, you know, I wanted to, and I didn't know if she'd like, you know, book or electronic. I had a binder, the whole nine yards, so whatever worked.
Well, and that's just it. Like I've got, you know, some books that like you literally, they don't exist as PDFs. You cannot buy them. And those games are more precious to me sometimes. Like I worry that like, because I have, you know, I have a first printing, first edition Shadowrun book. And I used it constantly, but you would never be able to tell. Now, there is a PDF of that book somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't need it because I have the print book that I have. And it doesn't have things like, and this is, you know, because you can actually do this. It's impossible to get your PDF signed. I have print books that are signed by people in the company that worked on.
The thing is hard books, you know, now are becoming less of a, you must have this in order to play the game if there's other options, you know, like Shadowrun or 5th Ed D&D. But the physical books, you know what? All right, yes, it's lead. You can carry your entire D&D library, but your physical books, now you can turn those into some kind of like mementos
Culturally, hard copy books are becoming more of a luxury than a necessity. And that cultural shift is something that does create a certain kind of elitism for using the hard copies. And I'm going to admit, my first preference is the hard copy. I want to open up the book. I want to read that hard copy book. I want to go back and flip through that. Now, the utility of the PDF is fantastic. And I will go through and, all right, I know what I'm doing. I'm familiar with the system, with the setting. I'm just going to refresh myself. I'll carry hundreds of books with me that way. But I want to go back to sitting in a big comfy chair, and I want to go back to feeling the weight of the paper in my hands as I turn the page.
I actually
But the thing is like for me though, also just quick thing though, is usually PDFs are less expensive. Usually, as a general rule of thumb. And let's just put it this way, you know, it's paper, like environmentalism stuff. Let's just put it this way. You know, if it's something, you know, that I'm not, that I like, but I'm not, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever, I will lick it. I'd rather get the PDF, you know, save a tree here and there. It's a little bit easier.
Like I said, that's luxury. They are becoming a luxury item. And so what do you think, guys? Girls listening at home, let us know on Twitter, drop by the Facebook group. Do you prefer print or PDF? Do you have a particular time you prefer one over the other? Or are you an absolute diehard where, like Zen, you firmly believe in the superiority of your preferred method?
Yeah. Because it is paper all the way.
Yeah. But the But the thing is, like, there's nothing that's right or wrong. They're right or wrong for Zen, right or wrong for me. But the thing is, Zen and I actually love gaming together. It's awesome. Even though he is book all over, and I'm like, I'm part cyborg at this point. Well, you know what I mean?
To give you an idea, I build paper landscape. So for this pirate game that I'm going to potentially be running here soon, there's a company that makes printable terrain, and then you can build it. They have a pirate ship.
Like paper,
I'm building the ship.
You are?
Yeah. I have to print off the transparencies, but I have to buy transparencies because I don't have any more of the acetate sheets. So I have to go get them tomorrow, so that I can print them, so that I can put them in the on the board, so that I can cut everything, and I'm going to start building the ship. I will take pictures of what I have, and I'm going to start putting it in the Facebook group so people can see as I build this ship from literally just sheets of paper to a full-blown, like, the main ship, the main deck of the ship is a full sheet of foam board, corner to corner.
Yeah.
So it is big. And when it's all done,
we're posting it on the site. We're posting pictures.
because I do appreciate that ability to touch things. And yeah, I've always been that way, especially when it comes to books. My favorite thing is to get a big, heavy, hard black and just sit there and read.
Yeah. Hey, whatever makes, and the thing is, like, it's whatever works for you. So here's the thing. If, you know, a lot of people are like, yes, books only, but you find that you do electronic, then do you. Because if you're in a place where you're comfortable researching, reading, learning, you're going to be one hell of a GM rather than you're struggling, you know, books. You know, it's like, say if like you're not as good with them, but you're much better with like PDFs or Mobi or whatever.
Yeah.
Go for it. So, you know, we might have kind of like evangelical, but we are not saying that this is right or wrong.
Oh, no. This is just my preference.
But the thing is, experiment. But experiment here. You know, you might want to bring like the big main book as a big physical one, and that kind of everyone uses, but you have all your little source books and the like module or something on your little tablet. Because if yours like mine, and I can kind of like pop it up with the
The only person who needs that specific splat book, maybe stick it on the PDF. If it's one that might need to get passed around, it might be easier to have the hard copy. But that's just
remember battery backups. If you're using electronic, bring a power cord, because nothing sucks more than showing up at your game and your Kindle is out of power.
Yeah, and when you're using an almost decade-old iPad like I am, you'd better make sure you've got your old connectors.
Yes.
And with that, we'll just take the chance to roll right on into our next segment, which is
And now we enter Stat Blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight.
Okay, I'm going first.
That last one, dude.
Mine's short.
Yeah.
Mine is short by comparison.
Well, I think mine is short, too.
No, it's not. Not as short as mine. So.
Okay.
The rusty old crab pot swings from the edge of the ship, caught in the spray and the wind from that ship. There's a patch of old fabric woven into the wires of it. As the ship's bell rings the end of the work for the day, the spray coalesces into several small crabs. As strange as this seems, the crabs grow just a little bit more till they're about the size that someone could eat one. The Picaroon pot, as it is called, comes when someone makes a deal after they've been stranded on an island with something otherworldly. It's capable of doing two things. One is, if kept in the spray of water, it will create a portion of food or seafood for one person for about one meal. And secondly, if it's submerged, it creates a feast for up to five people for a single meal, though. If the first is done, you can use it three times a day and once a day for the second. There's never a need to bait this thing either. It just creates these effects. Now, with all things from the ocean and otherworldly help, there is a cost. Maybe it only works a small number of times, or maybe it poisons the user slowly. Make those rewarded get their just desserts.
Oh, right. Dirty. Yeah. Quite.
Yeah.
All right.
Gardemanger.
Oh, great. I have to follow his.
Well, I mean, you could have just volunteered to go next.
This is Zen's party, man.
Everybody loves the circus, and the big tent hippodrome and spectacular is no exception. Coming into town fills the citizenry with delight and anticipation. It is a show that brings the world under one tent and into these three rings. The big tent has been, after all, traveling the world for years and always able to reinvent itself trip after trip, adding a new attraction, a new performer, but staying true to that rustic and, some say, ramshackle origin of a good circus, don't you think? Time and time again, the big tent finds itself embroiled in dust-ups in these towns and cities. Now, maybe the locals think the big tent hippodrome and spectacular has more money hiding somewhere deep in those wagons than we really do. We do this for the love of the show. Don't you realize that? Maybe they've just fallen deeply in love with the way that the performances make them feel. Eyes wide, heart open, and a mind full of wonder. And an almost infectious feeling as the elephant dances, the lions roar, and the acrobats flip through the air. Be it money or amazement, something is always trying to trap the big tent in town, and you need to help them escape. Or maybe you want them to stay. No matter that the ringmaster tells you, no matter where you look under the tent, you can't figure out the inspiration that flows from the big tent hippodrome and spectacular. Because it is the tent, no more no less, that fuels the performers and the audience. It is the big tent under which dreams are born and dreams take flight.
Oh, that was delightful, sir. Delightful.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like it. All right. Nope. All right. I'm bringing up the rear. Summoning the god of fire and chrome. Legends whisper of a god of fire and chrome, a lord of speed and power, whose yawp would shake the earth, whose scream would arc across the sky as lightning, in whose flesh you would see a more perfect reflection of yourself. In the sixth world, the urban shamans have now found a way to summon him. Your local rigger more than likely has helped with the summoning. It requires a car. The actual make doesn't matter. But the body of the car has to have been built for speed and power and used as such. Retired drag race cars are a fave. Next comes the engine. Scavenged parts of old racers. Engine blocks from an urban assault vehicle. Exhaust pipes molded out of metal struck by lightning. Anything that contains a fragment of the god of fire and chrome can and should be incorporated. While being assembled, appropriate music must be playing to appease the god of fire and chrome. And appropriate beverages must be used to quench the steel and christen the engine as the god's temporary new home. A local rigger swears that a mix of mead, sweat, and rainwater is the god's favorite. Has the ritual appeased the lord of fire and chrome? You won't know until you start to lower the engine into the car. If the god of fire and chrome is pleased, he will make his approval known. Some shamans claim to hear, "Jesus built my hot rod by ministry." Others swear that Legacy by the Gone Jackals suddenly started playing on the car stereo. The ritual has pleased the god of fire and chrome. So turn the key, slam the accelerator to the floor, and let him take the wheel.
That's fun. I like it.
More power.
Not my usual fare, but I think that was pretty good.
No, it's good.
Definitely. Yeah, yay, that was
came
really
up
good.
With something
like
neat
it.
And funny.
Yay!
All right, guys, and let's kind of transfer into the next section.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
Help us speech good, Zen.
All right. So the word today is antediluvian.
If anyone else brings up Vampire the Masquerade, I'm going to smack them preemptively. I'm waste through the computer and I'll start nose flicking. I swear to God.
I love that that's the response that I get. So we're not going to even bother because we all, you know, yes.
That's where it's we know where it's used most often in gaming. It's a word. It means from before the flood, preferably before the biblical flood.
Yep. And if just using just temporarily, it also can mean something unbearably ancient. You know, if we're not using kind of like non-biblical things, it just means
it's
my dear God,
it's extremely primitive or outmoded or made evolved or developed a long time ago. So yeah, that's pretty much it. It's old. Whatever it is old. Older than, you know, a month ago. Because, you know, that would be recent. We're talking things that are centuries old. That's where that falls in. You know?
Millennia.
Yeah. So keep that in mind when you use this word. Because if you start using it for something that was like from last week,
your player's going to look at you really funny and probably throw wadded up pieces of paper at your head.
The word means. So, the etymology and origin is straight up Latin. Ante means basically before, and diluvian is the flood. So it really hasn't changed.
Literally before the flood.
Now, its first known use was in 1646.
Huh, that's later than I thought.
You know, and I thought so too, because I'm like, wow, this must be really a really old word.
I thought antediluvian was an antediluvian
it is not,
word.
Apparently. But it is still, you know, 400 years old. So. And its popularity is actually in the bottom 50% of words.
Yeah.
Because gamers are really the only people that ever knew what the hell it was used for a really long time.
That's not true. There are a whole bunch of academics who used that
but
word.
But it's not a commonly used word by the populace. So
No, it is not commonly used.
So, yeah. So antediluvian. And just so you know, it is an adjective, not a noun.
Yes.
Unless you are a White Wolf Game Studio.
Then you can do whatever you want to. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are barreling on to the closing remarks here, folks.
Quality over quantity.
Oh, so, yeah.
Since Jules went last on her stat block, that means she gets to go first on closing remarks.
I hate you all so much. Okay. Well, for those of you that don't know, like, not only do I do tabletop and board games, I also am a video game player. Ta-da. But I have fallen in love where there's this podcast, and it's called The Bonfire Side Chat. Okay? And I love, you know, I can sort of listen to actual plays, but I can't listen to them for too long, but I could listen for hours about these guys. They're talking about lore, deep dives, like tips and tricks on how to fight certain monsters. But a lot of it is lore that they discover through playing the game. Dark Souls is hard. And they go over Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Bloodborne, and Dark Souls 3. And they do wonderful back and forth talks about the lore, deep dives. And as they go further in, they actually say, oh my gosh, our assumption on that was wrong. What does that change? And they'll kind of do like a little retrospective on that thing right there. But it's not just a lore dive, something it's about like techniques or how to watch for move sets. And it's actually been, you know, I'm still terrible at it and I have lost more souls than I have ever spent, but, and it's fun. And they make this, and it's this whole kind of like, and they're doing it like off of the Roosevelt fireside chats, and they actually do like Roosevelt quotes in it, and they're very, very honest. Like, yeah, this kind of inspired it. So if you guys like Dark Souls, and it's kind of like what we do here, it's just guys chatting about Dark Souls, and it's fun and it's neat to hear, you know, one guy's like, I didn't play it for the lore. And then I realized, oh my God. And then I went back and played it. And we've all done stuff like that. And it's kind of neat to watch as they grow and evolve. Cool. And I'm enjoying the living crap out of it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's also a nice way for people that can't play the game because it's, I'll be honest, my husband can play it. I still can't get out of like love, like the Undead Asylum. That's okay.
I don't play them. So.
Well, you do, but it's more Minecraft.
No, I meant like video games at all like that. Like I've never played any of those games.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But the nice thing is for me, it's like I can, because I've watched the game being played and I still can understand it and I can get a lot out of it. And they make it so you don't have to be a master at the game to love it. And it's brilliant. So, and they actually, the best thing about it, they're like, okay, we're talking about Darkroot Garden. And they'll mention what next section they're going to be talking about in next episode. So you can play it and then go to that next where they're going to be doing it. And you play that new area and then you can listen to them with what you've done. It's actually really clever. So yeah, sorry.
Go to Monge.
Next.
Well, going off of our print versus PDF, I'm going to come down on one particular side in my closing remark and recommendation, and that's Field Notes notepads. Now, this is a specific product and a specific manufacturer, but there is absolutely no payment or reimbursement or product placement occurring here. It just happens to be quite literally the notebooks that are right here next to me that I like to use. They are little 3.5 by 5.5 notepads, either unlined, lined, or graph paper. They've got a really nice sturdy cover with really nice paper that takes ink well that fits inside your blazer pocket comfortably, and they are even better made in the USA for those of us who are US based and want to buy something that isn't necessarily imported. And so we've got a link in the doodly doo to Field Notes. And so I say spend a couple of dollars, get yourself an actual notepad and write your thoughts down. Or just make a really big shopping
list. That works too.
I've done both.
In the same notebook.
Oh, yes. Yes. And there's a little stack of the ones I've used up over here on the bookshelf.
All right. So mine is actually.
All right, Zen, what do you got?
And it is the new Fallout Boy.
Like Vinyl or
Well, I've listened to it on Spotify because I don't have a record player right now. So I try to be very selective. Oh, I will.
Give it time.
I tend to be very, very selective in what I will purchase in vinyl right now. But the new Fall Out Boy album.
But Fall Out Boy.
Oh my God, the new album is so good. And it is, the album is Mania. And it is so good.
Oh.
My wife introduced me to Fall Out Boy like a long time ago. And she was like, there's a new Fall Out Boy album. I'm like, and I'm going to listen to it. And I'm like, oh my God, it feels like a natural progression from when they were like just starting out. It has that old Fall Out Boy feel with their new style. So it's really kind of cool and very fun. Now, does it apply to any game that you're running? You never know. If you're running anything set presently, you can totally have something like that playing in the background. So, yeah, that's it. nothing crazy or wild, but yeah.
Just manic.
Just a little bit. So, well, I guess that's going to go ahead and wrap us up. So, next week, what are we talking about next week? I think we should start dropping that.
Cannon away. Next week, we're planning to have a discussion about how much established material do you use and how do you navigate that? Mainly because Zen wants to sit here and see how on earth I answer this question.
That is actually part of it because I know how much I use. And it is way different than a lot of other people. So, that being said, until next week,
keep gaming, take some notes, and join us on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/
Seize the GM.
Groups/Seize the GM.
See, there was a three-person step here. You know, facebook.com, next person/groups, and that's a... Did you not get the memo?
You did not write it down and mail it to me.
I did write it down on my little field
that
notes
pad.
That
was not
right
for
here.
Me. I did not see it. Therefore, I could not do anything. So, yeah. Until next week, guys, have a good one.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are @ZenDead,
@JulesPodcaster,
and @NullOperations.
And the show's Twitter account is @SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zendead@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at nulloperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by The Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0, Unported License.